That's why I mentioned Phelan. You know him, and he's likely there, and that's why. He's got friends and enemies both on the council, and until they've settled themselves about him, they're likely to be skittish with you. The thought that Leonya had sent a paladin to search in Saya for an unknown prince, well, you can see how that will suit. Will they have to acknowledge someone as sovereign of a neighboring realm who has been thought base-born here? How if he's a slave or a servant?
He's not, said Pox quietly.
You know who it is?
Yes, but I am not at liberty to say until I've spoken to him.
I see. That makes sense.
He chewed his lip a moment.
Someone high-born? How could that be unless... No, I should not ask. You have your own guidance from Gerd and the High Lord, and I pray their grace and strength for you. I doubt your task will be easy, even knowing for whom you go.
Could you tell me, asked Pox, which of the council is the right person to approach?
Humph. Right for what, is the question. As you've dealt with me, so must I deal with you. I have no right to tell you all that the marshals of Gerd suspect about some families on the council. We have not the proof, and we are not bound to ill-speak without it. Yet I would not talk freely with anyone, and certainly not with the Varakai family. Kostvan is utterly loyal, but has less power. Merakai has the power, and I believe is loyal, but the Merakaian have long had a name for secret treachery. Yet you know that the name is not the reality. The real traitor may not have the reputation. Klaneth is flighty. They say it's his health, but I have a cousin down there who says it's his second wife. Destvorn is bride-bound to the Merakaian, but none the worse for that, if the Merakaian be sound. Conholt, there's another I'd go clear of. I know nothing against them, but that 3 times the neighboring grange has had to chase evil things from their hills. The rest are small, of little power compared to these, or closely related. I might speak to Kostvan first, or Destvorn, and then to Merakai. Phelan wields power, but not at the moment. Your past connection would be suspect there.
Pox got from him the descriptions of these various lords, and committed them to memory. Then she chanced to mention the Varakai captain she'd met north of the Onargat. A Gerdsman, he'd said.
Oh, that branch is sound, said the marshal cheerfully. I don't wonder you thought him well enough. That's the trouble with some families, and the Varakaian aren't the only one. You can't tell by the name. Take the Merakaian now, true or treacherous. They're all of one brew, and that a heady one. There's not to choose one from another, barring looks, but others, well, you have dreamers, drunks, daring men, and dour men, all in one heap like mixed fruit.
I'll keep that in mind, said Pox. Their entry into Varela was far different from the first time she'd seen the city. The guards at the first gate had heard of her quest. They saw her coming and held traffic, light enough at this season, to pass her through. She had long forgotten the way from the south gates to the court, but the guard sent an escort to guide her, an eager young soldier whose bright face reminded her of all the recruits she'd ever seen. On horseback, she could see over the parapets of the bridge. The Onargat here had a skim of ice even in midstream. At the inner gate, on the north bank of the Onargat, a guard captain waited, mounted on a horse decked in the rose and silver of Saya. He dismissed the escort and led them to the court himself. For a little, they rode alongside the tall, bare wall that Pox remembered, then turned left, and left again, and came to open gates that gave on a wide courtyard. Here they dismounted, at the captain's directions, and liveried grooms led the horses away. Pox warned the groom assigned to her horse, and the horse trailed him, without a hand on his reins.